Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for joining in and offering your insights and tips and what have you. We got quite a bit of information coming in and really appreciate that. Don't know how to thank you. So keep them coming at carol@carolcox.com or call me at 782-6627 or EnviroWatch at EnviroWatch.org. I try to make sure that the environmentalists can reach me, the citizens can reach me. Just make sure and just understand all of this effort is about the environment and about social justice. And we want to make sure that those that are entitled to it receive it, and that it is being some freedom and freedom of speech, freedom of the right to breathe clean air, clean water, live on clean land, and the bigotry and the racism, and to be free of that. And it's inexcusable. These are times now where, as an African-American male, I have to apologize sometimes to people because my visceral reaction is not that of the normal reaction, because I've been exposed to it forever and ever and ever. So you grow up on it. It's like you're assigned a tit that will be your guide through life. You got to navigate just complete racist BS. All right. And so when we see the sexism, I must apologize and say that maybe my reaction is too mild or too calm or whatever. I'm not getting excited. I have friends ask, doesn't that bother you? The guy just talked about raping a woman and doing this and doing that. Or they're not allowing minorities or immigrants to do this and do that, or they don't allow the gays to do this, to do that. And then I have to say, look at me. I've been that victim of all of those things all of my life. So when we see one more repeated, the best thing I can say is that you should be on the bandwagon fighting injustices regardless who is the recipient of it. And that way you preserve your own rights in doing so. So it's not a black thing, you know, how people would say that, it must be a black thing, or black people got a chip on the shoulder, or just let it go. Can't you just let it go? That's the old time. Slavery ended long time ago, and, you know, and we can't hold newer generations for older generations' behavior and what have you. And I must tell you, all those illnesses that we see today that are affecting and impacting women in the workplace, or women, period, or gays, period, lesbians, period, the LGBT family or community, immigrants. And we got to be real about this, see, because remember, we, black people, black folk, and this is Black History Month, and we have some say, well, why do we need Black History Month? You know, we don't have a White History Month. No, you don't. You have a white history 400 years. And you have a white history that purposely excluded people because you wanted to impress or suppress them. And so, no, you're right. You don't have white history. But you tell your story more often than you tell my story. And my story is we're marginalized, and we're minimalized, and we're ignored. And we, every day there's a new revelation parallel to the Me Too movement, parallel to the discrimination of this group or that group, when we still see that African Americans in communities, in law enforcement communities, are likely to be pulled over more so than anyone, being arrested more so than anyone, using car laws, traffic laws, to incarcerate people, to create a criminal record. And then you say that my reaction is not sufficient, or I should be a little more compassionate in my, when I hear that a woman was raped or a woman was discriminated against, a woman was harassed. And I've said all along, and many of us have said, join in. An injustice to anyone is an injustice to all. And so, given all those thoughts, everything we do has, here in America now, can be, in my opinion, this is just my opinion and observations, has its feet or its imprint in racism, stimulated, generated, or provoked by a racist thought. Now, we see people, imagine a community that don't get the policing that they need, the proper man hours of police forces, the distribution of those police powers in certain communities, may almost minimal. Now, if they're getting broken into and robbed and ripped off and drugs dealings in the neighborhood, and they call the police, very likely there's a delay in getting there. And so you got to deal with that. But if you got in your car and you drove out into the, quote, the white neighborhoods, you're likely to see an entourage or massive coverage, or more so than you'd see in the black neighborhood. And yes, we do have black neighborhoods and we do have white neighborhoods. And sometimes the signs don't say it anymore. But you know, engraved in your mind, based on the actions and the skinheads that serve as policemen in these certain communities, and they all look like uncles and nephews and aunts and what have you, they have control over these communities, law enforcement-wise. Keep the black folk down. Suppress them. They come across the, quote, tracks in the white neighborhoods, put the pressure on them, squeeze them out, make them feel uncomfortable. They don't have a right to be here. You know, in Chicago area and many other communities around the United States, blacks were prohibited from being in the town boundaries after a certain time, 6, 8, 9, 10, depending on the community. So, again, not to spoil your breakfast and talk about something that you would don't really want to talk about, or you think that we should get over it. It would be nice to get over it. I mean, hell, man, imagine getting over it. Can you imagine getting over a case of racism and not having to experience it again? That would be a miracle. If there's a drug out there that allows that, I'm all on board for that. But the reality is, it's not. And the sickening thing about it is that we continue to see it present itself or manifest itself in other people. And that meaning it impacts other people. There is no way a woman should have to go to work and be faced with harassment and inequality or molestations, rape, what have you, disrespect, or the glass ceiling. Any of that. No way. Especially when she has a right to all of these things that a man have. And, but some reason is that if you, I think it's a vindication saying that we as black people have always wanted to make trouble. We are stuck with, it's a horrendous predicament we're in. And that is, you can go get a job that we're not hiring you, or you're the people of your likes or your kind of people of your race. And so finally they give in. Then you arrive with all of the proper documents and training and all of the things that you needed to say that you qualify for this. But then you have something unique. You have this need, this requirement, this demand of you to work doubly as hard. Many of you women have heard that too. Women have to work double as hard. You see, so it's difficult to take this to heart in the point where you lived it every day, when and then you see someone else become victim to this mindset. So it's not that, and I don't speak for every black person. I barely can speak for myself because I'm just as confused as the next person who's trying to figure this nonsense out. But you can't blame us for not caring. They say, well, you know, why don't we see a lot more black people out there protesting in the Women's Rights March? Or why don't we see more black people protesting in this? And this is look like only white people. No, no. It's just that in historical times, black people have something to remember them, remind themselves of. The dogs, the fire hydrants, the fire trucks, the tear gas, the guns, the stun. Whereas even today, in laying parallels, you'll see it's likely they will have black people marching and what have you, and then somehow it will turn into a race riot or some kind of violence. While on the other hand, there's a courtesy given. Stand back. That's Mr. Joe Smith. That's Mr. Joe Smith kids. They're from the community. They have money. They have a right to protest. But on blacks, they actually insert people to agitate and to aggravate the crowd. So when you see crowds that are not representative of blacks, it's not that blacks don't care and share your concerns and the anguish about racism. It's just that they get the crap beat out of them. They get arrested. They get booked. They get, you know, and you might say, well, it's okay. They'll found not guilty, but you got to have money to be not found guilty. And so then you get welcome into the welcome wagon of pleading out on a misdemeanor, which misdemeanors can be proven, have been proven to be just as fatal as a felony in the history or in the life of a black person when you go get a job, because you already got to work doubly as hard and you already got to struggle to get a job, to get someone to hire you. And then you get that. And then you have the talk about, well, you know, it's best not to hire blacks. And I've had this said firsthand to me by whites. It's best not to hire blacks because blacks will inevitably file a complaint against you on racial discrimination and what have you. Can you imagine? So it's not that I don't care and don't cry for you, with you. It's just that there are certain things in place that are purposely placed there by whites in the power to do these things, and not just whites, because you take here in Hawaii where we live, some of the most racist behavior that we can witness is right here amongst ourselves, and people of color, people of minority groups that hate one another, wouldn't dare have their daughters marry the other. If a Japanese would want to marry a Chinese, there are certain instances, well, no, don't marry a Japanese. We hate one another. You hear this kind of nonsense. So the cycle, once you nurture or allow racism or bigotry to infiltrate, to find its root in any setting, then you're going to be stuck with an illness that you can't take a pill for. You can't. There are no pills for this ill. There is no pills for you take the types of jokes when we arrived here to Hawaii. It's a little more subtle now. And not when I say subtle, I have to be careful because once again, it's like saying it's a little more pregnant. No, you're either pregnant or you're not. So it's not the subtleties. And I don't want to downplay that. But what you have is jokes about the Filipino eating dog or Filipino speaking. And the irony is, and the comical part of this whole thing is that if you've ever listened to a number of Filipino people that speak, just it could be any group, you hear them speak and we make fun of their R's and how they speak. But the fact is, or the proof could be, that they speak more than two, three languages or dialects. And we call them ignorant. And we laugh at them, and here we barely struggle to speak English. And that's not in Mississippi. This behavior doesn't take place in Tennessee or Illinois, but it happens right here in this melting pot, this beautiful salad that we talk about so often. And yet, predominantly the people that are on the streets or sleeping in the bushes or can't go home being beaten is by at the hands of a white male named Kurt Caldwell, who, if you put a German suit on him, yes, he's called mayor here, but his actions are parallel or consistent with those of the Nazi or any other body that have hated people, and the compassion is absent. Now, I know we got to get it done, but go back to beat the black people out of the community, keep them out at 8 o'clock, and yet no one is asking, well, gee, if these people that are homeless are so bad for our environment, our community, why the hell are we allowing, trusting this man to continue to manage? Because it's a failed policy. His administrative techniques are failed. Because part of housing and all of that and the well-being of the people is a part of the job of the government. You may not say and agree if you're some person that believes that government should be out of your life. Well, if government should be out of your life and out of the normal people's lives or common man's lives, then stay out of their lives on the bike path. Stay out of their lives on the streets. Stay out of their lives on the bushes, because government has no place if we follow that line of thinking. But a healthy nation welcome government involvement, because that's a stabilizing force, a factor. It's good for mankind. It's good. It's no perfect world. But then when it's represented by all, or all find themselves being a part of that program or that project or that system or that social structure, then we're better off. So, yeah, Black History Month. You see the things that go on. You've not had to go and to boil Mississippi and KG Moon, or go into the stores and where it says whites only. Yeah, I'm 65 years old, and I lived in Boyle and Skeen, Mississippi, outside of Cleveland, Mississippi, born and raised there. And from the area of Fannie Lou Hamer and Ramsey Moore and many of the other activists who fought and struggled and tried to change things to make life better, because you can ask this question. Is life fair to many of us? If life was fair, then why are we taxed with having to tell other people to get their foot off of, or their feet off of our throat, or get off our back? Clear the path. Let us have equal access to the water fountain. Let us have equal access to the sidewalks. When you see a white person walking on the sidewalk in Mississippi, when I grew up, it was understood that you got your ass off the sidewalk and you let them pass. No matter if they had one tooth in their mouth or two teeth or all 32. Didn't matter. If they were driving a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce or a horse and buggy. White was might, and white was right, and so therefore, when you see us, and we don't seem to share your pain, and you don't seem to think that we care about you and what your frustrations and why you're being subjected to this, we know the pain. We live it. We've incorporated it. It's as if we have isolated in our system, and it's always there because we are constantly reminded in one form or another. So it's not that we don't care about you. It's not that we're grown to become insensitive about your hurt and your pain and your struggle. It's just that there's so many dangers, and that we have been told, and and a great many of you have had the luxury of having black people amongst you that will say, well, I'll speak the same language you have. Black people should. You know, it ain't about race. You know, it's I worked hard for what I got. You know, you hear that. And they probably did work very hard. Harder than, doubly as hard, in fact, if they know their history. But the situation still looms, and you have this. And when you find, whether it's Mr. Trump, whether you find, and I've said that the Democrat Party is just as racist as anything you've ever seen, because they don't introduce bills that really kill away racism and annihilate it. They just want to frustrate it and then claim they've done good. And you look at Congress, you look at until recently, women now are boasting and bragging that women are, but that's a culmination of and neglect and illness, a racism, a discrimination, a sexism, and all of that combined. And today when we see, and we're celebrating, women are taking over, some describe it, of the halls of justice, and the walls of justice are caving in, the injustices are caving in, because women are, where were you with legislation to deal with all the issues of women? Where were you when it came out that AIDS were a problem and they tried to say that it was a black thing, it was a minority illness and or gay illness and what have you? Where were you when in fact it's an illness that impacted everyone? Families, whether you got AIDS or HIV, if you were, your family member suffered from it, it should have been treated as if it's an illness as it is, rather than a sickness amongst a community. And so, racism on a day like today, in a month like tomorrow, why on earth would anybody, God-fearing, whatever it is, caring about others, that you would bother to take the time or feel it necessary to say that you have a Black History Month and you celebrate a Black History Month? You're separatist. You are being a racist yourself, they say. But the reality is, when you browbeat and beat people down, and when you put them in the fields and chop cotton for nothing, and you sneak and you get them in sharecropping, and you rip them off, and you deny them the right to move, and you deny them the right to attend schools, and yet you tax them, and that tax money goes into the school system that they're not allowed to attend. Yeah. Black History Month. You're wrong for going out and claiming you need a Black History Month. Hell, we don't have a White History Month, some say. No, you don't have a White History Month. You have white control. I didn't say white control. White control. And that system is it dying out? Well, look around you. Look at the makeup. Look at who's still in the financial industry. Look at all those things. We still have people talking about, he was the first black person to win an Oscar. Hell, man, as long as TV's been out, black and white TV and everything else, stage acting, we're still talking about and shocked and surprised that and made feel good for an hour that a black person or a minority, a first Asian, is being nominated for an Oscar. What the hell? So, it's not that we don't pain with you and we don't understand when we see that across the big screen that says that there's been another instance of racism or rape in past times. It's not that we don't care. It's just that we live it every day. We live, young black people live in situations, and young other minorities, not just blacks, car pulls up, window rolls down. Hey, boy, go, you know Mary, go tell Mary to come here. Mary comes here. Mary gets in the car. Mary goes out on the back road with Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith goes out there and does his thing and projects himself on her sexually. 9 months later, there's a beautiful yellow baby brought and introduced to the community. And everybody say, ooh, look at that pretty baby. But while the whole community has beautiful people, big brown eyes, big black eyes, black and white, clear eyes, big smiles, beautiful, handsome, strong. But you see, the way racism plays itself and the way racism infests or infect a community or in the minds of a people, if you're yellow, you have a better chance, some say, in being successful. Because you're not black like this, and you have a chance of getting on TV, and you have a chance of getting into the movies because you're yellow. You're yellow fellow, mellow yellow. And then when you're really yellow, and then you have this great thing that can happen to you, and that is you could become a dinosaur, a chameleon. Not that she was a bad person or anything, doesn't speak to that, but to have to hide her race or hide her ancestry and not acknowledge openly and publicly and overtly that she too has black blood running through her veins. And there are a number of others. So we don't own Black History Month. We were forced amongst ourselves to come up and define dignity for us because others denied us the dignity, denied us the right, still deny us. So, Black History Month. Black people are selfish, some say. They just want a month for themselves. Why do they need BET? Black Entertainment Television? Why? There's enough TV to go around. There's MTV. Well, go back and look at your history, folks. And you'll see why I cry, but not cry with thee. And that is when Jackie Wilson, Marvin Gaye, and all those Arthur Prysock, Johnny Hartman, the whole list of black people that were had voices as more beautiful than anything you'd ever heard in your life, but they were relegated to singing in swamps and dumps because they were black. And then some say, why do you need Black History Month? You're just being selfish. We don't have White History Month. No, we don't. Don't need a White History Month. When you're subjecting, when white history itself is one big lie. People arrived here eating turkey with black and white suits on and white collars and buckles and shiny buckles. Really, where did they get the brasso to shine those buckles? You mean they took the time to shine and bug it? No. The big lie. Jamestown, Virginia, on the James River, and all of those areas, and the killing of the Pamunkeys and all the other native people to who trusted and embraced you and taught you the ways and taught you which roots and tubulars and leaves and beans and peas and berries that were good for you either for ingesting or putting on as a poultice. And then you then brand them and then you then prohibit the native people from using that product that they've used for centuries or eons. We don't need Black History Month, some say. Never did. Never needed for it. This is a fair place. This is America. This is freedom. It's all there. We don't need Black History Month. When black people, beautiful, sing like birds, cooing, sounds that lull you to sleep, just the folk hymn, just the hymns that were sung in church and about, in the fields while working, robbed, stolen, taken back across the tracks, put the same notes, same tone, same pitch, and publish it, and make money. And yet, the black person, the author of that, or the creator of that song, or that hymn, or what have you, can't be seen in a bar that is off limits to black people singing, while others make millions on those records, on those histories. So if you really were to look at it, you'd have to ask yourself, gee, what did black people do? Do they have any talent? Can they dance? Don't know, because we saw on TV, MTV, they couldn't dance. The Ed Sullivan Show brought them on in the start, but even that was somewhat scarce. And then comes along the Soul Train and other shows. And then that's when the discussion really starts up. Now, why do you need a black show just for dancers? Doing that boogaloo, the jive, the jerk, the twist. Why do you need that? Look at them how they dance. Let's prohibit that. Even when the white guys decide to dance like the black guys, they wouldn't show them waist down. So even looking like or acting like or emulating a black person in public on TV was prohibited. But we don't need Black History Month, says some. This is a country that everyone is represented. Have the freedom and have the right to be successful like anybody. Yeah. It's amazing. But I don't celebrate Black History Month because I too agree with you. I don't need Black History Month. I just need to be black all my life and make the best of it every day and remind myself that black people are just as beautiful and as have contributed to society and mankind and the health of a people forever. And will continue to. But for the sake of conversation, happy National African American Month. Well, we African American Month. Today we're African Americans. Yeah. But remember now, we came over in the bellies of ships. Or if some of us were able to ride on top deck because there wasn't any room to put any more under the belly of the ship. And if you've ever tried to ride a boat with all of your hands free so you could grip on in a bouncing boat or rocking boat or rolling boat or in the seas, churned by the seas and churning seas and what have you, imagine you being chained or tied to the top deck so that you don't throw yourself overboard because you're willing to die before you continue this life. So you get here and you speak a different language. And yet they say we're ignorant. Black History Month. You don't need Black History Month. Why? Because Black History Month will acknowledge that you've been used and screwed over and demonized and demoralized and just simply, there's no shortage of words for this. You don't need Black History, some say. Because if you have black history, you're just going to stir up the old ways and stir up the old ill feelings. Well, who projected those old ways and those old feelings upon people? As the tobacco got more important in America, along with Virginia and Sir Walter Raleigh and all of those folks who financed a lot of this and wanted to, and Sir Francis Drake's talk about in his travels and coming to America and being shown the Atlantic and being able to see the Atlantic and the Pacific down near the Panama Canal and where we were just a peninsula. Black people showed him that. The Cameroons, who were slaves and escaped. And we talk about coming to America, coming out of Mexico. There were revolts. Blacks were involved in revolts before America was even established. So, yeah, it's probably good that we have a black history, because it probably helps mend, nurture the good thoughts in people rather than the bad thoughts. Because imagine, and I haven't even given you the list of things that the atrocities that were projected on black people, people of color. See, there's a danger when you go and you capture people, no matter how many. Some say, well, they were other blacks were selling other blacks. Well, yeah, might be true. But that didn't mean you had to buy them. Because buying them, what is the price of human life? How much do you pay for a young boy? Or a young girl? How much do you pay for a human being or two human beings with the thought that you're going to take them and chain them in the belly of a ship and then bring them here and breed them like dogs and cows and chickens and pigs and then tell them later, why, you're practicing reverse racism. That's reverse discrimination. Yeah. You see, so imagine trying to live in a system that presents and project all of this in front of you. And you have to endure and you have to provide for your family and you have to get out there. And imagine, let's go back for a bit. And who is going to tell me that my original arrival here from my African-American side stems from racism, stems from hatred of people, stems from the demeaning statue that we have been assigned or projected on? Who is going to be happy and willing to tell us in white history that, yes, we did this to you? Yes. We prohibited you from living and enjoying those things that we enjoy as human beings. So never mind, you don't need a Black History Month. It's not that we're really care that we don't have a White History Month. It's just that we don't want you to stir up the old feelings and really know the true colors of who we really are. And what this economic system is really based on, and why we have the injustices that we see today, and why, where are they rooted in and deep-seated in? Yeah, but you don't need a Black History Month. When people try to remind themselves that they have dignity and project that they have dignity openly and overtly, and then being chastised or criticized for it and not being enhanced to assist, you would think, give the average American, an average human being, an exposure or a dose of racism and slavery, and you survive it, you would think the other man or other woman would celebrate for you for being able to endure and having the ability to sustain yourself. And all that is projected on you, you still look to America and you fight the wars. You volunteer for the military. You go and you rescue someone from a building, because not because they are white and that you're cherishing them and you praise them and you love them and you worship them, but no, you save them because they were a human being. It was a woman in distress that you ran and intervened on the behalf of. It was another white male who was in distress, who was being assaulted, that you intervened on their behalf. But if you are a nation and you want to remind people that they're nothing and came from nothing and nobody, and that nothingness that they came from is something that you projected on them, that environment that you created. If they were for sale, didn't mean you have to buy them. Everything in the stores downtown is for sale, but you don't buy it all because you don't need it, and much of it is nonsense and craziness. But when it comes to human life, what do we say? What do we do? That's just separating America. That's tearing America apart at the fibers. The threads of America are becoming weakened when we celebrate, when individuals celebrate. We all should be one. We're all just on the one flag. Yeah, today we're on the one flag. But the red, white, and blue don't stand for all of us, to include me and you. We fight the wars, we volunteer, we see the Tuskegee Airmen, and we see many others begging to fight for this country. And even when they finally, through miracles of Roosevelt and others, and the abolitionists and the people that found themselves fighting for the rights of others, even when they get their license to fly and get promoted to fly and get trained to fly, they will still segregate it. But then when you turn on the TV and you see the new movie coming out today, there's five white guys that won the whole war. Yeah. When you turn on the TV, when Westerns are popular and all, and there's a shoot 'em up, and the Native American are being slaughtered and massacred because they were going to go in there and try to grab this white woman and grab her and rape her and grab these little white kids and rape them. And that's the image that you projected and you gave out. And you say that represents the Native American. But you don't tell openly the atrocities that were projected on them at your hands. But some say you don't need Black History Month. You don't need to be a separatist and celebrate your heritage separately. That's anti-American. That divides America, they say. But like you, if you feel good and warm in heart and bubbly when you talk about your family being from Europe and Russia, and you can trace your footprints and your sociology, your genealogy and all, and you project it and you look like you're an intellectual person and you feel good about it. But not I. My genealogy stops at the plantation, folks. I try to find my family and my history. I can't do like many of you. I can sign up for Spit in the Bottle for Ancestry.com, and I have, and I found some. It got me near, but I would enjoy, give anything to be able to speak like the average white person and say, yes, my father came over on the Mayflower. And he brought two turkeys and cranberry sauce and dressing and potatoes and corn. And he brought tobacco, and he brought all the things that we see today. He came equipped. No, it didn't happen that way. It happened a way that we need to remind ourselves to avoid it repeating itself, history that is. We need to remind ourselves that people were given blankets infected with smallpox. We need to remind ourselves that people such as the Pamunkey and on the James River who taught the new arrivals how to avoid the illnesses of the swamp fever, the stagnated water as they travel. And we're taught which herbs to use to kill the illness or to do away with the sickness that they have encountered. And we need to know all of these things. And while we have said it is Black History Month, it's an awakening. It's a way of memorializing overtly, openly, to share with others. And it's an opportunity to say that you may think that I'm a 1, but I'm a 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, that is. Not 1 to 100, because some people are just ignorant enough to say, well, see, he didn't even credit himself to being 100%. No, 10 is the number. So, I submit to you, I haven't even begun to talk about and share with you why Black History Month is not just a month. It is a struggle. It is an effort. It is a means of saying that I am somebody. It is a means of reminding ourselves, because you damn well won't tell us who we are. It is a means to tell us that you and I were going to openly acknowledge that you have thrown oil at our feet so that we can slip and fall, and then tell us we don't walk tall. A real man would walk tall. I would walk tall too if you didn't throw these obstacles in my way. I would walk tall too. I'd see more of my names imprinted on the list of college graduates. You'd see MD before my name. You'd see astronaut before my name if you were not to stand in my way. But I must remind myself, in order to jettison myself above this fray of this ignorance, this ill feelings that I have about myself that you projected on me. If I remind myself the woes and the atrocities that you subjected me to, the rape, the murder, the pillage that you committed against me, the incarcerations that you did, false incarcerations. You catch me taking a basket of cabbage, or you even manufacture lies and you imprison me because you needed Angola in Louisiana, a former colonel from the military. We didn't have slaves after slavery was ended. Didn't need it. Just open up Angola. Imprison falsely Black men, women, and children. And then have them to work for nothing, busting the rocks, fixing the railroad trains and the tracks and all of those things. You don't need a Chinese History Month in America. But they should have one to remind us of the atrocities that they had to endure. The murder, the killing at the hands of whites who were in power. We don't need to know the history of the Afghanistan. the British involvement in the sale of opium to the Chinese, the growing of opium. You won't need Black History Month. You won't need any type of ethnic month. It's a problem if you have one. It may reveal or divulge some bad things that you have committed on us. So tell your children to lay off. This is all we have as our memory to remind us of the illnesses and the hardships that you have exposed us to and subjected us to and managed us by. And then in turn, tell us, you're practicing reverse discrimination by talking about Black people and Black History Month. Can we all get along? Yes, we can. But I must know the symptoms that I have and these illnesses that I have, where they originated from, so they don't repeat themselves. I don't want to be sick again from the same illness. I don't want to be lynched again. I don't want to be living in a nation where we're separate. This is the United States of America. These are the United States of America. But at the rate we're going and the pace we're going, we're talking about the president's base. What does that mean? From what I see, the president's base is people that believe that we should not have Black History Month. And that's suspect. Because if you don't believe I should know my history, and I can't speak my history and teach my children my history, then you are my enemy. So, Black History Month. Do we need it? Nah, we don't need it. We just need a healthy mind, good food to sustain ourselves so that we can learn it. We can learn our history. And by learning it, we ingest it. And ingesting it, we can build around it. And we can prepare and ward off any other knucklehead that tries to come and subject us to these old, filthy thoughts. And back to that yellow baby. Couldn't forget him or her. You look at your TV now. What has been projected in the long past of keeping Black off the screen? You don't want Black faces in your home. You don't want to show that Blacks can think and what have you, or positive things. They're either joking, the butt of a joke, or doing something stupid. First to die in the movies, last to hire, first to fire, all of those things. They're not just there because someone's sitting around smoking a reefer or smoking dope and come up with these terms. It's because America has set itself on a course that now it was wrong in its foundation. It tried to correct itself. It tried to right itself. Travel in the right direction. And we see someone saying, no, turn the wheel hard left. Hard left. Turn the wheel hard left. And others are saying, no, turn it hard right. Hard right. And the passengers aboard, or the cargo aboard the ship, is in the middle. You and I don't count. Because if you know your history, then you know your future. Or at least you'll have some control of your future. Or it won't come as a shock and a surprise. We are about 1 hour away from knocks on the door at 12 at night with hoods or swastikas or not even, or the New Age American soldier ousting and ripping you out of your house. Because you can't pay the taxes. And this goes for everyone, you see, because all those things that are projected on us as African Americans, you could call it a trial of sort. They want to do away and keep white women and women out of the workforce. Just do what you did to the black people. It worked then. Why wouldn't it work now? You want to keep the Chinese or Asians out of the workforce? Just do what you did to the black people. It worked for on them. It'll work for these. And when you tell us we don't need black history, let's say when the blacks were picking your cotton, chopping your cotton, felling the trees in the swamp, building through the swamps and through the Florida Keys and all those areas in the roads and building the, tearing into the limestone and building stable roads, clearing trees, snake infested. And the native people that live there were decimated their populations. And those that ran from the hardship that were there working, embraced by many of the Native American people, offering them refuge and safety. So when you see all of this unfolding and being reminded that you're practicing reverse discrimination by basically talking about your history, you're not reinventing it or you're not excluding, you're just saying, ah, I discovered a little nugget here. Did you know that a black man or a black woman contributed to this? And then we have the right to have black history if we elect to. We have the right and the need to remind ourselves. The cat's letting me know that it's time to go. But again, don't be put out when you see black history. There's a reason for it. And that reason in my mind, I'm not speaking for anybody else but myself, African-American or non-African-American. It's a pleasure and a joy. Tastes good, feels good to be told that you are somebody and to be told that this fabric, this thing called the American flag that we see that is of 50 states and territories, that we, this dream, this beautiful dream, that we bled for it, smiled for it, cried for it, died for it, and we own part of it like just anyone else, and we deserve the right, and we demand the right to enjoy and be left the hell alone. Gerrymandering, blocking votes, stealing votes is as related to the slave trade as anything else, because you denied us then and you're denying us now. And once again, as it's common, as it's always stated, and I'm not going to pretend that I know how to say it the best time to say it, but if you don't know your history, then you're soon to be a victim of your history again, repeating itself. So, happy Black History Month. Happy being black. Don't let anybody stop you. And we have a future ahead of us as a human being, as a human population on this planet. We got a lot of things. And as long as we're stupid, all of us, We're dealing now with too much greenhouse problems, carbon problems, clean water, demand for food, and all of those things now. We got to elevate ourselves past this. But we got to be ensured that we are not manipulated and wrongfully denied what is rightfully ours. So we'll see you again, and happy Black History Month. Thanks to Dr. Martin Luther King and all the others, Medgar Evers, and just on and on and on and on. And many of those people that dared to step across the race line, the abolitionists who knew it was wrong. And all of those people out there that praise the Lord and praise God and all, take a look at your heart. Look at that Bible that you carry around. Don't apply it to figure out what you need to justify in your life or your wrongdoings or your shortcomings or to nurture you or to fix your problems. Use it to understand that if it has two legs and black skin and beautiful brown eyes and beautiful swollen lips, kissable, any mother that brings a baby into this world has the same concerns that anybody that lives across the track. They love their children. They don't want to see them dying because they were pulled over because they had tinted windows too dark. But then that's what Black History Month will do for you, folks. It will allow you to document and give rise to a protest. A protest to say, I am nervous when my child leaves my doorstep to go to a volleyball game. She or he may not return because some cop, some skinhead, some right winger that may just kill him or her just because they have a right to carry. Stand your ground. It's very intimidating to have a black man coming out of a store. Very dangerous, it seems, nowadays. You can shoot them. Coming out of a store and, oh, he approached me. I stood my ground. So, Black History Month should be here. I don't particularly need it because I'm always constantly looking and learning and reminding myself that don't ever forget. You're dealing with the people that don't think that you're a human. And as long as I have that and equipped with that thought, and that I don't, in their minds, don't supposed to be enjoying the rights that they enjoy as a free man, as a citizen of these United States. So, we'll see you next week, and thank you for listening. Got lots to talk about. And we'll talk about border water supply. I wanted to share with you border water supply here in Honolulu. Had a record, keeping records on politicians. Why would a border water supply have a list of politicians on their list? We're asking questions, and are they getting special treatment and special favors? Or why is it you're keeping a list of politicians, elected officials, a water company? But anyway, we'll talk to you later. And aloha. Thank you for listening to Carol Cox on Talk808.com. Aloha.